Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men,
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon.
Happy Wednesday, Edwin.
Happy May Day, Andrew.
May Day. Oh, it is May the 1st, year of our Lord 2024.
Yes, moving through the year, another month. But we're still in Revelation chapter 6.
Mm-hmm. You know, we are hitting that graduation season, though.
I think
some of the college folks are probably wrapping up this week and next.
Yes.
By the end of the month, everyone's going to be out of school.
Having some graduations to go to this week.
Exciting time.
So congratulations to all those graduates.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to the folks who are just wrapping up a year of school. Mm-hmm. You know, getting that under your belt, moving on to the next level. Excited about that.
Good on you.
So let's talk about some other things that are amazing in Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to read through verse 8 in the English Standard Version. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So now we've opened up then four seals.
Yeah.
Of the seven seals of this document. Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about, what happens is instead of reading the scroll is coming to life. It's playing out before our eyes. It's like we get to watch the movie or the VR headset experience of the story being told. We spent a little time yesterday talking about with the first seal, you have one riding forth on a white horse.
Yes.
We call him the king because we noticed he was given
a crown.
A crown.
Yeah.
He's a warrior king. He's got a bow. He's riding hard. He's got the king. And I say a warrior king because he also has his orders, right? He's going forth to conquer.
Yes.
He conquers and he's going forth to conquer. So he is our victorious king.
Yes. I agree. I agree with that.
With these ensuing seals, we get more horse riders coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I often have heard the term, maybe you have too, the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And as I see that popularly depicted, I see that these guys are like riding four abreast.
Yeah, very often.
They're bringing all of this onto the world all at the same time.
Yes.
But I get a little different picture here.
I'm with you.
You know, that the first rider is, I believe it's Jesus, representing Jesus.
I'm with you 100% on that.
He's the king on the white horse, which means he's the good guy. He's
yes.
the hero. And then the rest of these, they're the bad guys.
Yes.
They're bringing things like war and famine and death.
They're the ones he's gone forth to conquer.
Yes. And so what's going to be playing out here is not that all these guys have teamed up together to go destroy the earth, but that there's a savior at work, and we're getting to see all of the opposing forces.
Yes.
Kind
yes.
of coming out on parade and starting to do their thing.
And it's a little bit surprising. I'll get to that here in a second. But I think it's important for you to bring that up, that Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, as it is popularly believed and depicted, is not, I think, an accurate representation of what's going on here. First, we just have to remember, the problem is, normally when folks say Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, they're talking about, the Four Horsemen that come at the end of the world. Apocalypse doesn't mean end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse means revealing.
Revealing.
And so, there are four horsemen in this revelation.
Yes.
But they have their certain roles. And I agree with you 100%. The rider on the white horse is Jesus, having burst forth from the grave, having been given authority, like we see at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Mm-hmm. He is given a crown, and now he's going forth for his kingdom to do exactly what God had promised to him back in Psalm 2, back in Psalm 110.
That's a good point.
The victory that God has said, you're going going to judge the nations of the earth with a rod of iron. If the kings do not submit to you, you're going to conquer them. And he's gone forth conquering and to conquer.
The people need to come and kiss the sun.
Yes, Psalm 2.
Yeah.
Or they're going to perish in the way. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. So there's a little bit of this that's surprising to me. Namely, we see Jesus as one having already been given authority.
Mm-hmm.
He's already conquered death on the cross. This is what he has done. He has broken the gates of Hades wide open by his resurrection. We recognize those things have happened. And so what I expect now that the white horse has gone forth conquering and to conquer, what I expect was just a lot of conquering. I expect the kings are now either going to line up and they're going to, it's going to be judgment. It's going to be battle. It's going to be, and then there's going to be world peace as everybody follows the king. That's what I'm expecting. I will tell you, some of my Jewish friends whom I have spoken with, when I talk to them about why don't you accept Jesus, they'll say, because we expected him to come in and the Messiah is supposed to come in and he's supposed to drive out Rome and he's supposed to bring a worldwide kingdom of peace. And he didn't do that. That's what's expected when the king went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation tells us, no, that's not what was going to happen.
That's not a very different perspective from our dispensational premillennialist friends.
No, it's not.
They're saying the same thing.
Yes.
Jesus has to come back and have a physical kingdom and destroy all other world powers.
Well, I recognize that he is going to conquer. He is king, and we have these promises. There is going to be the judgment that comes on the kings. Whatever we're saying about the world of the earth itself, he is going to have that ultimate reign over everything. And yet, that's not what the Christians were experiencing.
Yeah.
They were going through tribulation. Mm-hmm. The kings of the earth were not bowing down to Jesus and bringing victory and honor to those who followed the Son. They weren't kissing the Son, and they weren't being destroyed and judged immediately. In fact, what they were doing was destroying and judging a lot of the Christians. And so now we get the heavenly perspective. Here's these other three horsemen that follow. Jesus goes out conquering and to conquer, but actually for a time, there are these other horsemen that hold sway.
To my mind, this certainly pictures the challenge of Christianity and serving the Lord in his kingdom. I think about here is Jesus who has conquered all things. And what's this first seal? It breaks open and we see there's actually going to be war.
Yes.
And yet Jesus said he is the Prince of Peace. And we look forward to these prophecies where they beat the swords into plowshares and, a body of people of Jew and Gentile and everyone to come together in this church. And yet, but where is the peace? It's not that it's not there in the gospel, but we're not seeing it all played out. Similarly, the next one, the third seal, has to do with famine and scarcity. But Jesus Christ is the bread of life.
Yeah.
There should be fellowship and abundance. I mean, he promises an abundant life.
Yeah.
And yet we look around in our human experience even today, but there are places of famine in the world and want. And even death. Jesus Christ did come forth from the grave. The tomb was empty. And yet people are still dying.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Apostle Paul talks about people who sleep in Jesus, the Christians themselves, whether because of persecution or any other reason, there is a taste of death. And so how do we understand our conquering king who's gone forth to conquer when these challenges, these enemies, or we'll picture them as these horsemen, they still seem to be doing their business?
In fact, very specifically, I keep calling out Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Yeah.
And here, when it talks about death and Hades in verse 8, they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth.
Mm.
It's like death encompasses the previous two horsemen, war and famine. Death is now given sway. War and famine go out, and it's not that people get to escape war and famine. No, they die. Death is given authority. Well, wait, which is it? Has Jesus received all authority, or does death have a quarter of the authority? I mean, what's going on here? And what we're seeing is an apocalyptic vision, a revelation, a perspective of, yes, this is what's happening. There's a couple things I think we need to grasp from this.
Mm-hmm.
The number one most important thing is that while, and this is the problem with us taking it piecemeal one step at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're at this place of, this is awful. It shouldn't be like this. Look, we're in 2 days we're going to get to where this is all resolved. So, okay, but we're hanging out on this.
It's a cycle.
Yeah,
it's the cycle. We're going through the story.
We're hanging out in this part where it's not working the way we expect. In fact, you know, remember our Psalms. We often talked about how the Psalms were laments and poems and prayers written in the interim. Mm-hmm. The interim between when God gave his promise and God fulfilled his promise. Sure. And Revelation is this apocalyptic vision, at least right here, of the interim. Mm,
yeah.
The interim between when God has given his promise of victory and is actually going to bring about the actual victory. And it is something that the Christians will go through. The first thing we need to recognize as we see this part of it is the fact that since God can name it and explain that this is what's going on, God's not surprised by it.
I like that. I appreciate that. It builds me up. I also like that I know the conquering king is out on the loose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This vision started with him cutting loose.
Yes.
And all these other terrible things, they hadn't got him.
No. They're going forth. They have authority over a quarter of the earth. They don't have authority over everything.
Yeah.
He's still the conquering king. But there's this period of time where it looks like he's not conquering. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Christians in John's day are going through.
Absolutely.
And God, by giving this vision, is saying, guys, I get it. I know that it's happening. This was part of the plan. This was the way it was going to happen. I'm not surprised. I'm not losing. I love this. The conquering king, he is still out there conquering. He is going to conquer what I sent him out to do. He's going to accomplish that. I think that's absolutely important for us to recognize. The second thing I think it's important for us to see is I appreciate the fact that it's essentially called war.
It is, isn't it?
It's the horseman that follows Jesus, while he's not named war, we're on good footing to call him war.
Well, I think I did say that.
Well,
I say it too. I took it there because, you know, he's going to make it so that people will kill one another. And what's he been given? A great sword.
Yeah.
I mean, this is war imagery.
Yeah, it's war. And then the next one is not named by John Famine, but yeah, it's a picture of famine.
Yeah, when you talk about he's got scales, that's for measuring out barley and such. And he talks about exuberant prices for little bits, and that tells you there's terrible want.
Yeah, there's a lot of want.
And a lot of course, inflation.
And then there's, oh no. And then there's just the fact that, look, it's not that there aren't things available, but it is the fact that we're keeping some of you away from this.
Mm.
We've got oil and wine. You stay away from it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's an image of the persecution the Christians are going to face. But understand, it is war. And today, we're not in such a hard war or hot war we might have. At least here in America.
In our
in
homeland
the West,
today.
There's not people
today
that are putting
as of this recording.
Yes. So in other words, what you're saying is it might happen soon, and I agree with you on that.
But
and it does happen in some other places.
But like 3 weeks ago, there was no war going on in the States when you hear this.
When we were recording this. If it's changed, you can...
Give us a pass on that.
Yeah, so... But I think Rod Dreher in his book, I can't remember which one it was, but he talked about rather than a hard war or a hard totalitarianism, we're dealing with a soft war or a soft totalitarianism where we're not going to have soldiers marching the streets, pointing guns at you, telling you to give up Jesus. What we're going to do is we're just going to conduct a war of ideas. We conduct it through social media. We conduct it through the media. We conduct it through just the social just billboards and songs and television and just the way
culture.
People talk, culture. And if you don't line up, we're going to cancel you. We're going to dox you. We're going to do all these kinds of things that make you feel bad and try to get you to conform.
Marginalize you.
But it is war. It is war. We are at war, and a good way to die is to pretend we're not. So let's remember that. This is war.
What do you remember off the top of your head what the name of that book is?
Which book?
Well, you were talking about the Dreher quote.
No, I can't remember if that was Live Not by Lies or if that was the Benedictine option. One of those.
One of those.
Yeah,
okay.
he made some comments. Yeah. But the one
good
about
thinker.
A good way to die, that's actually from my friend Sid Latham. Good way to die is to pretend we're not.
Well, hey, hat tip Sid Latham.
Hope
you're listening to the program, Sid. We love you, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for Text Talk today. We hope you've been encouraged and edified as we've been discussing God's Word together. This is exciting stuff to talk about and certainly gets our minds going. Send us your emails with comments and feedback. Text Talk@ChristiansMeetHere.org. Text Talk@ChristiansMeetHere.org. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for these pictures in the book of Revelation. Some are very troubling, like war and famine, death, that is able to take so much of the world and to swallow it up. And yet we know that our conquering King is on the loose. Father, we know that all things are within your hand. Help us, Father, to be faithful. In days of plenty and goodness, may we praise you and bless you and share with others. Father, in days of scarcity and tribulation and trial, may we still bless you and share with others the truth of the gospel, that which is ultimately victorious. We believe you. We believe your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.